Now, what we've been talking about for probably 4 or 5 weeks now is I'm making a case to show you that God has put a proof in front of everybody that is just like eyesight to the blind or healing the sick or raising the dead. In this day and age, we have supernatural proof in front of our eyes. And the verse I want to talk about this morning, what I'm going to jump off of, is 1 Corinthians 13:1-13. It says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have also been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." Now everyone knows that. You've heard it a million times. What I've been talking about is going to come from when I was a child, I thought like a child, I spoke like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I'm a grown up, it's time to put all that stuff away. I did away with childish things. Just to remind you, what we've been talking about is God's final proof, which is the deluding influence from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When Paul says those who don't love the truth, and what is the truth? What did Jesus say the truth was? Remember that? John 17:17? "Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth." If you don't love the Scripture, God has a deluding influence that will allow you to believe what's false. The idea here is, and I started off, I showed you where this deluding influence is even today. Elsie, what day was Jesus Christ crucified on? Thursday. Because Friday, Saturday, Sunday, He rose the third day. What does the whole world say He's crucified on? Friday. They can't count. This deluding influence keeps people from counting the three. It keeps people from actually seeing what's in the Word. And we've gone through evangelism. We've gone through creation days. All this is on the website if y'all want to refresh yourselves. But the idea is, this deluding influence keeps people from, or allows people to be deluded. It allows them to believe what's false rather than seeing what's in front of their eyes in Scripture. Now, this week, we're going to kind of take a side path and then we'll get back to it next week. This week, I want to talk about the deluding influence. Now, the way I've been talking about it, you might be thinking, well, it's like a malevolent force. It's like God's punishment. It's like God, if you don't do exactly what He wants, if you don't love God's truth, then He will send on you this deluding influence that makes you believe nonsense. Well, you guys, I want you to understand what the deluding influence is. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about today. I want you to know what it is. The idea here is, it comes from 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but it's time to put away childish things when I grow up. Elsie, how deluded is a child's thinking? How much does a child see reality? They don't. This is the deluding influence we've been talking about. He says the greatest of these is love, and it's because love is what makes children grow up. In Ephesians 4 that we did last week, Thomas read that last week, verse 14 of Ephesians 4, "We are no longer to be children." Paul writes, "When I became an adult, I put away childish things." He writes in Ephesians, "We're no longer to be children." I want you guys to understand this deluding influence. It's not a malevolent force. It's not a punishment. It's something that God created for children. It's something that allows kids to be kids. What happens when a kid has reality smack them in the face? They lose their childhood, don't they? This deluding influence that we've been talking about is what makes children be children. Is there anything wrong with a four-year-old pretending he's a pirate? No. What if he really thinks he's a pirate? So what? Is there anything wrong with a five-year-old thinking he's a baseball star? No, there's nothing wrong with this. What if a six-year-old girl thinks she's a princess? It's just as cute as it can be. What if a 26-year-old girl thinks she's a princess? How cute is that anymore? You guys understand? That's what we're going to talk about today. This deluding influence is something that has its place. It's like fire. You can either cook your food or it can burn down your house. It's not evil in itself. It's the way you use it. When the truth comes, in Ephesians 4, it says we're no longer be children, but speaking the truth in love. When the truth comes, children grow up. Isn't that your job as parents? To slowly bring your child out of the childishness in their mind and slowly bring them the truth, along in the truth, as much as they can handle, and to mature them, grow them up. Do you think we're any different as children of God? That's what God's done. He's written a book of the truth, and this truth is our instruction to mature us, to bring us out of our childish delusions of what the world is into the truth, what the way things really are. Everyone knows what I'm talking about, and it's the same thing with Christianity. The truth is what makes children mature, and they only listen to someone they love. You guys understand that one? How important is it, if we're going to listen to God, that we love Him more than anything else with all our heart, soul, and mind? If you don't love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you're not going to listen to His truth because it's going to take away your delusions of what you wish was true. That's the deluding influences for little kids. In 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, do not be children in your thinking. What's He saying to all Christians? Don't be children. What's that mean? It's time to grow up. Don't be children in your thinking. How do children think, Elsie? You having recent experience with this. How do children think or do they? What do they do? They don't think. They have in their mind the way the world ought to be. And when it's not, how do they respond? Anger, shouting, tantrums, fits, take your pick. You as the parent figure in all this, it's your job to love them, hard as that may be sometimes, and to tell them the truth. It's up to them to love you back enough to listen to what you have to say and grow up. How's that working out? Need a little more time. But that's what it is. Don't be children in your thinking. The idea here is this deluding influence that we've been talking about for the past 4 or 5 weeks. What this is childish thinking. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're a child. You guys understand? If these little kids started talking about how they're an astronaut or how they're a ball player or how they're a pirate or whatever, you just say, that's great. That's wonderful. I wish I still had that old, childlike, influence where I could, wishful thinking, and it's true. But once somebody turns 21 and they think they're a pirate or an astronaut, what do you do then? You call the psychiatrist, don't you? It's time to treat a problem. This deluding influence, this childish thinking, is only a problem when you're no longer a child. You guys understand what I'm saying? This deluding influence is not malevolent. It's not evil. It's not God's punishment. It's God's gift to children, to let them be children until they're ready to start facing this world. The only problem is if you aren't a child anymore and you still have childish thinking. That's the deluding influence. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking. in your thinking be mature. Only the Spirit, which is love, and the truth, which is Scripture, can mature us as Christians. Anything else? I don't think so. Because if you don't love God, if you don't love this book, are you going to listen to its instructions? Are you going to reinterpret it and follow your wishful thinking about what you believe ought to be true? That's where the problem comes in. Elsie, if the children in your house actually listened to your instructions and obeyed them, how much trouble would there be in your house? If the children in your house listened to your instructions and obeyed them, how long would they remain immature and childish? They wouldn't. And if we're exactly the same way. These are our Father's instructions. As long as we listen and do what He says, there's peace in the household and we mature. We're no longer immature and childish in our thinking. But Elsie, if they refuse to listen to you, how long do they remain childish and immature? It doesn't change. They remain childish and immature as long as they don't listen to the grown-up. Right? As long as people don't listen to what's written in this book, how long do they remain childish and immature? And it is this childish, immature thinking that is the deluding influence we've been talking about for the past 4 or 5 weeks. Everybody get what I'm talking about? And it's proof. You know, we've been through evangelism, and we've been through faith and grace and things that are written, where what's written is just as plain as day, but people don't see it. And I've yet to have anybody tell me a natural explanation why people can't see what's written right in front of their face, except a supernatural deluding influence. That's the only thing I get. To me, it's proof positive that God's put in front of everybody in this very day and age. It's only the instruction of the parent that brings a child into maturity. Right, Penny? Do the instructions of your kids bring you to maturity? Or would that kind of... if you did what your kids wanted, would that make you mature? No, why not? Yeah. Right. You've already been there. That's exactly right. Everyone knows this. If you obeyed your children, how much maturity would be in your household? Zero. How much peace would be in your household? Zero. It doesn't work. But if your children listen to your instruction, how much maturity enters the household? Gaining every day. This is obvious to everybody. If you listen to God's instructions and follow them, you become mature, you become non-childish in your thinking, and you see reality. You can see what's there. How many people think God needs to listen to their instructions? Isn't that just like telling Penny that she needs to listen to Cheyenne's instructions in order to be mature? It doesn't make any sense here. Why does it make sense to people if it's Christians talking to God? What if you told Cheyenne that mom ought to do everything you said? How would that sound to a childish thinking? Woohoo! So when preachers and elders and everybody gets up and tells Christians, you know, God's going to do what you tell Him to do. You know, you believe in your heart and it becomes real. You have faith and it becomes real. Whatever you think God ought to do, that's what He's going to do. How many Christian people go, woo! Yeah! But does that work? Not in the slightest. It wouldn't work with a child to a parent in a physical family. It doesn't work with Christians toward God. Elsie, how many people think they can tell God what to do? They do. Why does that make sense to them? Because they're deluded. They have childish thinking. You know how you contradict that childish thinking? You bring them to the Word. You let them listen to God's instructions. If they listen, they begin to understand and mature. If they refuse to listen, there's nothing you can do about it. Hug their neck, tell them you love them, and say, God, you know, whatever I can do, let me know. The deluding influence is childishness. And it's a beautiful thing on a child. It lets them be children in this horrible world. Lovely. But once they're not children anymore, it's tragic. And it's the same thing spiritually. It's the exact same thing. James 1:22 says, "Prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." You know, if you hear the word but don't follow it, you delude yourselves. That's the whole point I've been making for weeks. This deluding influence. The deluding influence is not a malevolent force. It's not a punishment from God. It is the spirit that enables children to be children in this horrible world. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Is there anything wrong with your kids being kids while they're young, Penny? While they're young? Nothing wrong with it. So this deluding influence, it's not bad, it's not evil, it's not malevolent. It's beautiful on children. But once your kids are in their 20s and they still act like they do right now, is it still charming and cute? No. Yeah. That's right. This is so simple. We see it every day in families, but we refuse to think that God, as our Father, is the same way. It's the spirit that allows little children to be pirates and superheroes and builds forts out of sofa cushions. Y'all ever do that? When you were little kids, did you build forts out of sofa cushions? You pull all the cushions off all the chairs and couches, and you stack them up, put them on top, and you climb in, and you're safe, and you're protected. You know what allows you to feel that way? That childish, deluding influence that lets you have wishful thinking. You believe, you know, nonsense, but it's great when you're a little kid. But if you came home, Bonnie, if you came home and you found Bob building sofa cushion forts and climbing in them claiming he's safe from the world, is it charming and cute? Why not? Yeah, he's not five. It doesn't apply to him anymore. He's deluded, but it's not cute anymore because he's not a child. That's what's going on in the world today. This force that lets little children be pirates and superheroes and pin a towel to your shoulders and be Superman and to build forts out of sofa cushions and to put playing cards in your bicycle spokes and now your bike is a motorcycle. I used to do that when I was a kid. And it was a motorcycle. I didn't mean it. I pretended it was a motorcycle. When I put playing cards, I took clothespins and put playing cards in my spokes. It was a motorcycle when I was a kid. But Bonnie, if Bob took his bicycle out and put playing cards and said he had a motorcycle now, is it cute and charming? No. So you guys understand exactly what I'm talking about. This deluding influence, this childish thinking, it's beautiful, it's wonderful in its place. But when you refuse to grow up, when you refuse to face reality, it's tragic and it's sad. You guys got me? And is it God's fault that this deluding influence makes you believe a lie? Is it God's fault, Elsie? Whose fault is it? Your own, because you are remaining childish and immature when God has put the instructions for maturity right in front of your face. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Right? Yes. Yeah, your mind retreats back into that childhood period where life is just so much pain and anguish that you retreat back to when your childhood, childish thinking made life okay. And with an elderly person, I accept it, but it's still kind of sad to me. But I used to work in a nursing home. Yeah, I used to work in a nursing home, and I would see a lot of this, where they would retreat back into childish thinking, and it didn't bother me at all. I didn't think it was wrong. I just thought how sad that that's what life comes to. But it's that same diluting influence where you refuse to face reality, when you refuse to face the facts, you retreat back into that childish thinking where wishful thinking makes things so. With a little kid, it's perfectly normal. It's cute. With an elderly person that's losing their faculties, it's acceptable. But with a grown-up, mature, responsible person, no, it's not acceptable. It doesn't work that way. This deluding spirit is a protective spirit that shields children from this evil world. Any problem with that, Penny? Are you glad that this deluding influence helps your kids be kids in this horrible world? That they don't understand all the terribleness of this world? There you go. Keep them kids as long as they can. Have you noticed the world doesn't like that? The world thinks being childish is cool, but they try to remove childish thinking from little children. Have y'all noticed that? Just a little aside. That's another one of those little proofs that, everything God said is absolutely right. The world thinks immature, childish thinking is cool. You'll see it in movies and commercials and advertisements and TV shows. Childish, ridiculous, immature behavior, that's funny and ha-ha and cool. But actual childish behavior in a child, they try to remove it. They got to grow up. They got to face reality. It's opposite thinking, isn't it? It's just the way the world is. It's another one of those things that makes me understand God knows exactly what He's talking about. This protective spirit allows children to be children. It's a spirit that allows children to believe that what they wish to be true is somehow real. Anything wrong with that? No. As long as they listen to mom and dad and they grow up, there's nothing wrong with it. If they just believe hard enough and long enough, then what they believe will come true. Anything wrong with a little kid believing that? No, as long as they listen to mom and dad and slowly grow up. The problem is, while this spirit in a 2-year-old is charming and sweet, in a 20-year-old, doesn't work, does it? This childishness doesn't work. A 5-year-old that thinks she's secretly a princess, that's just magic. It's cute and wonderful. A 25-year-old that still thinks she's a princess is tragic. And it's not the deluding influence, it's not that spirit of childish thinking that's the problem. It's the problem is the person who refuses to grow up. A 6-year-old that thinks he's a secret agent, that's just hysterical. I used to believe I was a secret agent myself when I was 6. A 26-year-old that still believes he's a secret agent, it's time to call a home. It's time to call professional help. Not because there's something wrong with childish thinking in a child. It's wrong with someone who's beyond that age. Elsie, what's the reaction from a child when you as a parent figure try to instruct them in the truth instead of allowing their wishful thinking? What? So when you, through love and care for these children, when you try to inject a little reality into their childish wishful thinking, their response is rebellion, tantrum, emotion. Why is that? They don't want to grow up. How many Christians don't want to grow up? They like their wishful thinking. They like thinking that what they believe to be true is actually true, even though God's instruction says it's not. What happens when you bring God's instructions to Christians who are childish in their thinking and think that things are as they believe they are? What happens then, Elsie? Rebellion, emotional, tantrum. That's exactly the same thing. Same thing you get from the kids at home is the same way Christians react that are into wishful thinking, childish wishful thinking that God is going to make everything like they want it to be. When He wrote in His Word, this is how it is. This deluding influence is great on kids, but it doesn't work if you're too old for this sort of thing. How do you know when this child is becoming mature? Elsie, how do you know these two kids at your house are maturing? What's the giveaway? When you instruct them and they listen and they do. How do you know when Christians are becoming mature? When the Bible instructs them and they listen and they do it. You see how Christianity is so obvious. It's so simple. Everyone sees what I'm talking about. This is no mystery here. When the reaction the world has when God tries to instruct from His truth is the exact same thing. Emotions, outbursts, tantrums, you're not being fair, I don't like that, I hate you, you know, all that kind of stuff. The world says the exact same thing to God when He tries to instruct them. How much wishful thinking is still what people use to see life, death, God, and themselves? You guys understand what I'm asking? How much of this childish thinking, and what it is wishful thinking, that things are like I wish them to be. How much of this childish, deluded, wishful thinking is still what people use to see God, death, and themselves? Most. You guys understand this? Let's compare wishful thinking and God's instructions in His Word and see how far apart people really are. Elsie, people are basically good. That's the way I see the world. People are basically good. You know, you have some bad apples, but, you know, basically, you know, as a general rule, people are good people. That's the way the world sees things. And when you come along with your Christian gospel that everyone is a sinner that needs Christ to be saved, how does the world react? Yeah, you're saying my sainted mother needs your gospel? You're saying my mom was a sinner? Is that what you're saying? Well, emotion, tantrum, you're not being fair, you don't understand, you know, everything that a child would say to a parent. But here's what God's instructions say. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's instruction book says everyone's a sinner. If everyone's a sinner, how many people need the gospel of Jesus Christ? Everybody. But Bonnie, when you bring them this gospel of Jesus Christ that says everyone's a sinner, how do a lot of people react to you? That's right. Exactly the way a child reacts to their parent. You're not being fair. I don't believe you. I'm not going to listen to you. Ah, la, 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 la. Isn't that what the world, isn't what people do? Because their wishful thinking says my sainted mother or aunt or cousin or whatever, my people that I love, they're basically good people and God's going to save them. Whereas God's instruction book says no. The instructions from the Father says everyone's a sinner, everyone needs Christ. The world's reaction to this is the same as any child who's into wishful thinking and the parent brings reality into it. No, I refuse to listen. You guys see how deluded the whole world is? And they're into wishful thinking? Here's another one. Number two. Well, I'm a good person. I'm not perfect, Elsie, but I'm a good person. How many people think that? I'm a good person. If there is a heaven, I'll go to heaven because I haven't killed anybody. I haven't raped anybody. I'm not an adulterer, fornicator. And I'm a good person. If there is a heaven, if there is a God, I'll go straight to heaven. How many people have that idea in their head? That's wishful thinking. Because the God's instructions, our instructions from our Father, says, Mark 10:18, no one is good except God alone. So, which is true? I'm a good person, or only God is good? You got to take your pick. Which one's true, Bonnie? So you're saying I'm not a good person? Who are you to judge me? Who do you think you are? Huh? Who do you think you are coming in here telling me I'm not a good person? I know I'm a good person. You're the one that's not a good person for judging me. Who's deluded and into wishful thinking? You guys understand what I'm saying? They believe a lie. I'm a good person. I'm not perfect. Nobody is. That's a lie. Our Father says no one's good but God. Therefore, how many good people are there in this world? Zero. So how many people are going to heaven without Jesus Christ? Zero. But how do people react when you tell them that, Bonnie? Who do you think you are? That's exactly what they say. What you are is mature. What you are is grown up in your thinking because you've listened to your father's instructions. What they are is immature children who are going to throw a fit because you're daring to talk back to them. You're wrong. I hate you. This is the way the world is. This is how everything's set up. Number three, LC, religion doesn't matter. Beliefs don't matter. Everybody, all that stuff doesn't matter. What really matters is God saves everyone who truly loves Him. Buddhist, Hindu, Methodist, Episcopal, all that stuff's just not. God saves people who just truly love Him. Well, that's what I believe. Huh? Why are you so immature in your thinking, Elsie?
Because I don't know how to read the Bible.
What does your Bible say? Yeah, let me read you what the Father says about this. Religion doesn't matter. God saves all who love Him. That's wishful thinking. Because in the book, God's instructions, matter of fact, His very Son said, Matthew 7:14, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are very, very few who find it. So what does that do to my wishful thinking that everyone who loves God, no matter how they act, or that's who's going to be saved? It's nonsense. It's childish, wishful thinking. How in the world can I have instructions like that right in front of my face and still believe what I believe? That childish, deluding influence that's for people who do not love the truth. You guys got me? It's this deluding influence. It's beautiful on a child. It's tragic on someone who refuses to grow up. Elsie, I know in my heart that what I believe is true. I know I'm saved in my heart. You believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, but I know in my heart that I'm saved and that Jesus is my Savior and I'm going to heaven. Well, that's your opinion. You'll twist things in there to try to make me feel like I'm not. And the very fact that I feel like I'm saved is why I'm saved. Is that maturity or is that childish wishful thinking? What God wrote in His book, this whole I know in my heart that what I believe is true. 2 Thessalonians 2, the very verses about deluding influence, it says those who do not have a love of the truth have a deluding influence that makes them believe a lie. And Jesus said, your word is true. So if I say I know in my heart I'm saved, but I can't go to the truth and read why, what does that say about what I know in my heart? It's childish, wishful thinking. How many people are going to be saved by childish, wishful thinking? Well, I don't like that, Elsie. You're making too many people not go to heaven. And I don't like that. I want to think that a lot of people are going to go to heaven. Well, I don't like it. No, you change. Isn't this exactly like the kids? Grandma, you change to suit our purposes. What's your answer to that? It's not going to happen. What does God say when people say, God, you need to change what you've said in order to suit me? What does God say? Not going to happen. But how many children are going to stomp and guess, well, I won't listen to you, then I'll believe what I want to believe? Childish, wishful, deluded thinking. They believe a lie. LC, Scripture is difficult and God only demands that you're sincere about your beliefs. I've heard that a lot. Scripture's difficult. No one can understand all of Scripture. I was taught that growing up by my grandfather. Scripture's, you can't understand Scripture. God looks for sincerity in what you believe. What's the Bible say about that? Here's what the Bible says about that. 2 Peter 3:16. As in also of Paul's letters, that's the context where we're talking about Paul's letters, Paul speaks in them of things in which some things are hard to understand. See, I told you, but wait, let's read the rest of it. Which the untaught and unstable distort as they do the rest of Scripture to their own destruction. You understand what he just said about Scripture? You are held to be responsible for understanding it. Isn't that what he just said? If you listen to the untaught and unstable who distort Scripture to their own destruction, they're going to tell you that Scripture can't be understood. Just listen to me and I'm going to interpret it for you. That's destruction. That's the way to destruction. If distorting Scripture in any way is destruction, does God expect you to understand what He wrote? Yeah. Anybody that says no, childish, wishful thinking. You're deluded and you believe a lie. If you listen to your father's instructions, anyone who distorts what I've written is heading for destruction. The obvious thing is, well, I'm being held to understand. I can understand what's written. Anything else is childish, wishful thinking. Well, Elsie, God's going to make an exception for me in any case. God's going to make an exception. What do you mean no? Well, God's going to make an exception because, you know, people who are born in China or people that are born in communist Asia, people that don't have the same advantages I've had, God's going to make an exception for people who don't have the opportunity to hear the gospel. God will make exceptions. Why are you shaking your head? Because, well, that's not fair. How many kids tell that to their parents? That's not fair. Penny, you ever heard that? That's not fair. Do you only hear it from one of them? Or do you hear it from both of them? And both of them have their own idea of what's fair. And that's exactly right. Who establishes what's fair in your house? There you go. Who establishes what's fair in God's house? God does. This is what God's Word says in terms of Him making exceptions. 1 Timothy 2:4. God desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now think about what I just said. It's God's desire that all are saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. If He makes exceptions, why would He desire all to come to a knowledge of the truth? Why doesn't He just make exceptions for the ones that don't? It'll never happen. But Elsie, my relative, cousin, aunt, they didn't belong to the church. They were spiritual. They were good people, but they aren't part of your belief system. Are you saying they're not saved? Well, I hate you. No, it's not true. Who's got wishful thinking? God's Word is God's Word. He means what He says. No exceptions. How many exceptions did God make under the Old Covenant, Elsie?
None.
So how many does He make under the New Covenant? None. If God desires all to come to a knowledge of the truth, that means no exceptions. It's only a knowledge of the truth that saves you. Anything else? No. Last one. Well, we can't really know the truth. God's ways aren't our ways. His mind isn't our mind. He's so much higher than... You can't really know the truth. You can only do the best you can. How many people believe that? What does the book say? Let's see. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So you have one person that says you can't really know the truth. You just got to do your best. And you got your Father's instructions that say ask, knock, or seek and knock. And you'll get it. Which one's true? The Father's instructions. Can you know the truth? Sure you can. Is God going to make an exception for you because you don't know the truth? Not in an eternity. But how many people using their childish wishful thinking think that God's going to make an exception, that you can't know the truth, that the Bible's a mystery, it's just if you're sincerity, if you do the best you can, it's good people with a good heart, and it doesn't matter what religion, what faith. How many people follow that idea? Broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many, many, many there be that find it. God's instructions, like any parent's instructions, takes away our gray area where we indulge our childish wishful thinking and where we actually believe that what we believe affects reality around us. God's instructions destroys that. You understand why people hate it when you start talking about God's Word with real knowledge and insight? They hate it. They walk away. They get up and walk out. Because you're taking away a gray area where they use their wishful thinking to believe comforting things. Like little children. God doesn't allow that. It's time to grow up when you're in God's kingdom. We build bigger buildings and bigger temples like so many sofa cushion forts. Right? How many people are still building bigger church buildings and bigger temples and bigger assembly halls, just like big sofa cushion forts to protect them from the outside? Does a bigger building make you more righteous? Does a more ornate temple make you more holy? So what's the point? It's wishful thinking. It's childish nonsense wishful thinking. They build these buildings to protect them from the outside as they pretend to be righteous people playing church to worship a God they absolutely refuse to listen to. You guys understand the extent of the deluding influence, the childish thinking that's going on in this world today? How many people are meeting in church buildings and meeting in assemblies and talking about Jesus and opening their Bibles, but they absolutely refuse to listen to what's written there? How can that happen, Elsie? The deluding influence, childish thinking. If children refuse to listen to their parents, they remain childish, immature, deluded, pitiful. And that's the way the world is. These actions are of immature, deluded people who do not love their father's instructions that are meant to guide them to maturity, but they create their own false ideas of worship and service to harmonize with their own false ideas of God. Only a deluding influence explains this. The deluding spirit that protects and shields a child's mind from this evil world is fine for children. You guys got me? This deluding influence, this childish thinking, it is beautiful on a child. It's wonderful. It shields them from this horrible world. God bless God for inventing it. But once you're not a child anymore, it's just tragic. And you remain a child if you refuse to listen to your parents. If you refuse to listen to God's Word, you remain childish. The whole idea here is that to turn away from your Father's Word is to remain childish and immature and deluded, with your wishful thinking taking the place of God's Word. How prevalent is that in our world today, Elsie? What can you do about it? Love them. That's it. All you can do with the kids in your own house is love them. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love rejoices in the truth. Love is gentle. How much patience do you need with these kids, Elsie? You need God to give you all that He has and more. But if you love them without condition, God can't have them suddenly click in and go, wait a minute, Grandma's right. If I did it her way, I wouldn't be in this trouble. I wouldn't have this problem. If I keep doing it my way, I keep getting in trouble. I keep having problems. I keep having temper. It's the same thing today. It's the way the world is. This deluding childish influence is everywhere because people refuse to listen to God like any child refuses to listen to their parent, never grows up. Those that tell their parents, I don't like what you say, I don't think it's true, and I'll do what I want. What would happen, Bonnie, if Hannah came up to you and said, Mom, I don't like the way you look at the world, I don't think it's true, and I'm going to just do what I feel like doing? Would you go just hug her and go, it's wonderful? What would happen, Hannah? Would she accept what you're saying? Or would she say, I don't think so? Right? She'd still love you. She would still care for you, feed you, clothe you, house you, everything, right? But you would make it your intent for her to face reality, for her to find the truth. Everyone understands this. But how many people say to God, I don't like what you say in your word, I don't think it's the absolute truth, and I'm going to do what I wish? And they think God's going to go, fantastic, wonderful, build your churches and make up your denominations and follow your religions, I think that's great. Is that how God reacts to this, Lisa? How's God react? I don't think so. And then what do people do? They go, they remain childish, they refuse to listen to their father, and the deluding influence, that beautiful childish thinking that protects kids, kicks in and they believe nonsense. You guys follow me on this? That's what I wanted to get across to you today. Do we hear God's instructions and then do as we wish? Only you can answer that. That's what I wanted to put across today. The deluding influence I've been talking about for the last month, it's a beautiful thing on children. It shields them, protects them, and makes them live in this world, and makes them come up and give me a hug. Oh, thank you. Beautiful, right? That childish influence, that childish thinking. Are you a rocket scientist? Say yes. Yes, and he is too. Right? But if you were 20 and said you're a rocket scientist, what would Uncle Bill say? You're crazy. Right? You guys, does God give you instruction and then you do as you want? Yeah. When you do, you remain childish, you remain immature, and you will have that childish, deluding influence that allows you to believe lies that are going to destroy your life. If God gives you instructions and you do as you wish, trouble follows. Everybody got me? But if God gives you instructions, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, give unto others expecting nothing in return, love your enemy, do good to those who do evil to you, forgive, 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 compassion, compassion, compassion. If He gives you these instructions and you follow them, how much trouble will you have in your life? None. How much trouble does Anna have if she follows your instructions, Mom and Dad? Not a bit. How much trouble do we have in our lives if we follow God's instructions? None. But if God says, and we do as we wish, the deluding influence will make you believe lies that will cause you grief and pain and sorrow. And people go, why did you do that? And you'll go, I don't know. Now you know, because you didn't listen to your father and do what he says. You did what you wanted to. And everything is blown up. Right? Say right. Say yes. Yes. That's everybody understood what we talked about today? This deluding influence, it's the protective shield for a child, which is beautiful in children. If you refuse to listen to your Father in heaven, it's not beautiful in us. It makes us look ridiculous and foolish and tragic. Listen to your Father. Listen to His Word. And you won't have any trouble in this life. And anything that comes along, God will take you out of it and show others that He takes care of you. Everybody got it?